Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. Programs and Merry Christmas. My name is Jason Robbins, and this is the latest episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show.
And my name is Derek Diamond. I can't believe we are less than a week away. Well, not actually 1 week away.
One solid week.
Christmas.
Four more working days for me. I know you only got like half a day left. Lucky you.
Well, it's Wednesday's my last day. Okay. And then be heading to Orlando for a couple of days. Get back in time to do Christmas with the family and get all of next week off, thankfully. So, just finally get to... I tell you, this month has felt like three with everything that I've been doing.
I bet.
It's been insane.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm kind of ready for 2023 to be over with. Let's just start clean, start a new year. And I'm done with this year already.
I'm more a fan of the of even numbers, so I'm looking forward to 2024. And plus four is my favorite number.
Yeah, can we just go back to 2019 and just do a complete redo of the last 3 years?
We need a full rewrite of the script. Burn it and start over.
Can we get a script doctor in here? We need to make some changes. And do some editing, and maybe we can fix this thing in post.
A filmmaker's favorite phrase, we'll fix it in post.
And let everybody know we are taking next week off. No show next week because Monday is Christmas. We're taking the week off. And we will be doing an episode for the first, which is New Year's Day falls on a Monday. Not sure if we're going to do a show that night or not, or if we're going to pre-record something, but did want to tell you guys, we're going to do our traditional show of talking about our favorite gaming moments of the year, some of the surprises that we had playing some of the stuff we did for the show. So if you have any great gaming moments or even horrible gaming moments that you've had over the last year, write into us, nerdcaveretro@gmail.com, and we'll read them on the show.
I don't know about you, but I'm so shocked that I enjoyed Tears of the Kingdom. That's biggest surprise of the year.
Yeah, that's the biggest. Yeah, did you see the I took a screenshot of my year-end thing that Nintendo sent me. I had like 140 hours in Tears of the Kingdom.
You might have me beat. I haven't checked mine yet, but I don't know if I've played it that much.
Honestly,
it's got to be close.
I was surprised it was that low. I thought it was going to be more than that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to play that game again, but I also don't because I don't want to get sucked in. And I've been playing so much of Mario RPG, and I've already beat it, and I'm doing a second playthrough, but I haven't gotten tired of it yet.
Yeah. I'm not going to restart another game anytime soon on that because that kind of sucked my life away for a few months. So it's I got to play some other stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited for you know, what we have coming up in 2024. You know, we both think that the successor to the Switch is going to be arriving by year's end. So we'll see what happens.
Joey says tears of the toilet. why the hate? Why the hate, Joey? I don't know. I still have to get my a new right Joy-Con for the Switch, and those things are expensive. Just a right Joy-Con. Why is it you can find left Joy-Cons for like $20 on Amazon, but a right Joy-Con is going to cost you at least $40 at the bare minimum?
That makes no sense to me. It really doesn't.
Do they not make as many right ones as the left one? I don't get what's going on there with all that.
I don't know.
Well, Joey, you need to get on.
I Nintendo being Nintendo.
You need to get on playing Tears of the Kingdom, because honestly, that was my game of the year right there, Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, same with me. He says, if you ever hit On the Border restaurant in Orlando / Kissimmee, let me know. That's one of my wife's locations.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, might have to look into that.
You need to see if they'll spring for you a ticket too, Joey, so you can fly down with her.
Yeah.
And maybe y'all can meet up.
That would that picture would break the Nerd Cave Retro Discord.
But they've been announcing a lot of cool guests for Pensacon this year. And I'm pretty excited about some of the guests that they've named so far. They've got Doyle Wolfgang von Frankenstein is going to be there this year. I'm pretty excited for that.
I had a feeling you would be when that was announced. I'm like, oh, Jason's going to lose his mind when he sees it announced.
Yeah. And Wally jumping in the chat room and says, it's my game of the year because I can't play Spider-Man, Baldur's Gate, Alan Wake, etc. Get out of here with all that, man.
Looks like today's podcast is going to be a roast.
Yeah, it'll be roast of me, as per usual. Might have to get Wally in here to tell us why everything is so much better than the Nintendo.
Let's see. Said I have to get my own flight, but hotel, car, etc. would be covered. That's not too bad.
So let me ask Wally this. So if he had a choice, should I buy a PS5 or should I get just an Xbox Series S and just use Game Pass? Like, is Game Pass worth the getting an Xbox, or should I just go ahead and get a PS5? Like, what should I do here? Or I know I want to get a PC, but that's going to be a while because I want to save up money and just pay cash for a PC.
Yeah, it'll be worth the wait, though, because, I mean, you, especially now with as many, you know, programs that there are, you need a good computer.
Yeah.
And you really get what you pay for when it comes to, like, a laptop or a desktop, whatever you get.
Yeah, I don't have, like, $2,500, $3,000 to slap down on an Alienware or anything like I used to be able to. So it's going to have to be budgeted into my budget for the year. So if I want to play something now, I might have to just get like an Xbox Series S or something.
Joey says PS5, and when you get your PC built, Game Pass PC is $10 a month.
See, that's not bad at all.
No, it's really not.
But I do want to play the PS5 exclusives, though. Like, I really want to play Spider-Man 2.
Me too.
And Alan Wake. I want to play all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I got too much to consider. So if I'm just going to stick with the Nintendo Switch for now.
Maybe something will happen and you'll be able to get a nice gaming PC by this time next year.
Yeah, maybe I'll win the lottery or, you know, we'll get like 100 more patrons and I can afford to get like a really nice gaming PC. We'll see.
Stranger things have happened, my friend.
We'll see. But we don't have a whole ton of news because we're so close to Christmas, but we got a few things to get to. You ready to jump into the news?
Yes, sir.
Some of tonight's stories were submitted to us by I Am the Rampage. And if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And this first story comes from mynintendonews.com. Link's Awakening DX HD receives takedown notice by Nintendo. The creators behind a gorgeous reimagining of Link's Awakening titled Link's Awakening DX HD has been issued a takedown notice by Nintendo. It featured HD visuals, 120 frames per second scrolling, and widescreen support. Additionally, players could also zoom out and take in the entirety of Koholint Island at once. Nintendo is renowned for its protection of its IP and consistently takes down projects such as this one. And they said, it has come to our attention that the following game, Link's Awakening DX HD, offered on itch.io, infringes and makes unauthorized use of Nintendo's copyrights in The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening video game. This notice reads, and if it's such a good game and is such a good representation of the game, why doesn't Nintendo do like other gaming companies like Steam or some like that, where they just, if somebody does something like this, they're just like, hey, we're gonna hire you and we're going to take this from you because it is our stuff and we're going to give you credit, but we're just gonna hire you to keep doing this kind of stuff.
It would make too much sense.
Yeah, Nintendo gonna Nintendo.
In other breaking news, water is wet.
Yeah.
When I think of this kind of situation, I mean, this is really cool. I would say to Nintendo, if you want to take this down, why don't you just make it yourselves? I mean, I know they did the full HD remake, and this was, so Link's Awakening DX came out for the Game Boy Color, because the original Link's Awakening was for the standard Game Boy, which was in black and white. And this had like a new dungeon that you could go in, and you could get either a red or a blue tunic. And so like the red would increase your attack and the blue would increase your defense. Mm-hmm. So that's the name reason by the name change. I remember as a kid, I was actually disappointed because it didn't have the WWE group Degeneration X in it because it said DX. But that beside the point. Nintendo needs to, no pun intended, suck it.
Yeah, I mean,
this is pointless and stupid. It's not hurting them at all.
Yeah, they could take this from the guy, hire him to do the work on it, whatever. I mean, it's already done, and just put it out themselves and make some money off of it. And they didn't even have to do anything.
No, but Nintendo doesn't like to do smart and logical things sometimes.
No, not really.
But they are the head of the fun police, though.
Yeah.
In other Zelda news from MyNintendoNews.com, Zelda producer shuts down the idea of a Zelda-style Mario Maker game. Speaking to Polygon, The Legend of Zelda producer Eiji Onuma told the site that it is not something they have been considering, as although The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom had the building mechanics, they don't want to make creativity a requirement. When we're creating games like Tears of the Kingdom, I think it's important that we don't make creativity a requirement. Instead, we put things into the game that encourage people to be creative and give them the opportunity to be creative without forcing them to. But when asked about a Mario Maker-style game for Zelda, he said, there are people who want the ability to create from scratch, but that's not everyone. I think everyone delights in the discovery of finding your own way through a game, and that is something we tried to make sure was included in Tears of the Kingdom. There isn't one right way to play. If you're a creative person, you have the ability to go down that path, but that's not what you have to do. You're also able to proceed to the game in many other different ways, so I don't think it would be a good fit.
I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought is, yeah, it'd be kind of cool to build your own Hyrule, but it's, or like your own dungeon. If you did like a dungeon maker, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I don't think Zelda is the right genre or gameplay style for a Mario Maker style game.
Yeah, because when you got Mario Maker, you know, you've got all going all the way back to the 8-bit Mario stuff, 16-bit, even up to the new stuff, and you can create levels as short or as long as you want, put whatever you want in the levels, and it's fun for people to go through and try those levels and see if try to make them as crazy as possible. And Zelda doesn't really have that kind of aesthetic. Zelda's more of it's an adventure game, you know, the discovery and things like, and going into the dungeons, and that's all part of it. It's not just sort of try to get to the end of the level as fast as you can and survive. It's not that type of game. So I understand that.
Yeah. It might be a good idea. Yeah. I saw the comment too. Yeah. That's why I was laughing earlier. Yeah, at the end of the day, I think he's right. At face value, it'd be kind of cool, but I think building my own Hyrule would get old really fast.
Yeah, because then you gotta, like you said, you gotta build the dungeons too. You gotta put in all the secrets. Like it's just not that type of game at all.
No.
And for this last story, this comes from TimeExtension.com. Rare Japanese TV footage emerges of Luigi in Super Mario 64. Various pieces of evidence have appeared over the years to confirm that Super Mario 64 was originally going to include Luigi as a playable character. To our knowledge, no video footage of Luigi in the game ever appeared, but that all changed over 3 weeks ago when a YouTuber called Now In Game Channel published a video of a 90s Japanese variety show on the platform containing roughly 3 seconds of the character running around a test area in an N64 demo screen. Let's see. Luigi Blood, who tweeted about the amazing discovery, writing, "Here's your only official footage of multiplayer Super Mario 64 from a Space World 95 video kiosk, as the camera clearly focuses on both characters." And did you get a chance to look at the video at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very quick clip.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, that was one of the big things when this game came out is where's Luigi?
Yeah.
Like, why can you not play as Luigi? But they did rectify that when they remade the game for the Nintendo DS, because you could play as Mario, Luigi, Wario, and Yoshi, which was actually a lot of fun, and they all had, you know, their own unique abilities, so it added a new dynamic to that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is one of the bigger, you know, what if scenarios from like that era of gaming. Because, you know, I remember reading rumors that, you know, oh, Luigi was going to be like a hidden character and you have to get a certain number of stars, or it's something you get, you know, after you beat the game with all 120 of them. Of course, then they ended up putting Yoshi in instead.
If they do have this evidence that he's in there, apparently, I would think his code is still within the game somewhere. So I wonder if anybody could break down the code of the game and actually make him a playable character.
Get him out of the Matrix.
Yeah. Poor Luigi. He's stuck in the train station of the N64 Matrix.
That's a good reference.
I was hoping you'd get that.
Yeah.
But that's going to bring us to the end of the news. Before we go into this month of video game history, I want to tell you guys about our mobile game partner, Globe Glider. And if you like action adventure platforms, and we know you do, Globe Glider is for you. And the game is absolutely free. There's no microtransactions or anything in the game, but you can make a donation to the game using our partnership, and it's quick and easy. Just simply hit the donate button and select Nerd Cave Retro as your referral partner, and you will unlock sweet in-game prizes like an exclusive Nerd Cave Retro cape. So download Globe Glider today on the App Store or Google Play. And now we're going to go into this month in video game history. I love this so much. December 2nd of 1989, the world premiere of the Universal Pictures film The Wizard is held at the Cineplex Odeon Theater in Universal City, California. Just reading that sentence makes me want to go watch The Wizard.
California. Yeah, this made me smile when I saw that this was an actual thing.
We have to celebrate this movie every year for the rest of our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, it snuck right in before the 90s started, about as close as you can get. But yeah, for those that might be new to the show, The Wizard is actually the first commentary track that we ever did for this podcast. And we actually did it in person because I drove all the way to your house and we...
Yeah, an hour and a half drive to my house. Yeah, just so we
an hour and a half drive, set up our mics in front of your TV and just popped in the DVD and watched it. And I had so much fun doing that.
I just love that movie so much. I can just, that's one of those movies I can literally watch anytime. It's one of those movies that I'll never be in the mood to not watch.
And one of these days, I'm going to interview either the director or one of the cast members for my podcast.
I need to get Fred Savage on here so we can talk to him
about it. Oh, that'd be fun. December 10th of 1993, ID Software releases Doom for PC. It's widely considered to be one of the greatest and most influential games of all time, especially in the first-person shooter genre, and is also one of the worst video game to movie adaptations of all time.
What are you saying? You don't like The Rock? That movie was amazing.
No, I love The Rock, and I love the little first-person sequence that they did.
Yeah, that was the only good part of the movie.
But other than that, oh, that movie was bad.
Oh, I just remember that movie was one of the movies I almost walked out of. Like, it was so bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's the worst video game adaptation, but it's up there. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, I think you might have pronounced it. Did you say ID Software or id?
I did.
It's id. Yeah, Joey's correcting you in the chat room. It's id Software.
Oh, thank you, Joey. Id Software releases Doom for PC.
That slipped past me. I didn't even hear you say that. Let's see. December 14th of 2001, Panasonic releases the GameCube-based Q multimedia console. Let's look at this thing.
So this was the Japan exclusive that could play DVDs.
Yeah, it had a DVD player in it. That's awesome.
I looked on eBay to see how much they go for. The cheapest one was about $500.
Jeez, that's insane.
Or you could buy it now for $1,000.
I just wish Nintendo would have just made the discs DVD size so you didn't have to have a special add-on.
Well, they didn't want people to use their console as a multimedia platform. They just wanted it to be used for gaming.
But I will say the GameCube does hold up like crazy.
I liked the little discs. I thought they were kind of cool.
Yeah, you don't have as much surface area to scratch up.
Yeah,
like regular DVDs.
I would love to get my hands on one of these at some point. I don't know that I ever will because of how expensive they are.
Yeah.
But you know, I would love to have one just to say I have one.
You know what's going to start getting expensive one of these days is DVD players because they're starting to get phased out.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting old.
I know. Yeah, I think Best Buy is going to stop selling DVDs early next year. And you're really seeing, like, because I went in Best Buy yesterday, and there's just this one little rack of DVDs at the front of the store.
Yeah, last
time I went
in there.
So tell more about appliances.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's too many washing machines and like refrigerators in there now. I used to like to go in Best Buy and just hang out for like hours looking at DVDs and games and stuff. And now there's like, I don't know, it's kind of sad in there.
Yeah, it's just, I'm reminded of an era gone by.
Yeah.
Because they don't sell CDs anymore. You know, like, I don't know how the Best Buy is, you know, around where you live, but like when you walk in, right to the left is where they have all the appliances. Mm. But they have stuff in the middle of the aisles too. So it's almost like you have to duck and weave through everything to get to the back of the store.
I don't even think they have CDs anymore. I know they have vinyl records, but I don't think they do CDs anymore.
And eventually they'll stop selling physical games.
I don't like that.
No, I don't either.
I don't know if Best Buy is even going to be a thing in a few years. They're going to go the way of Circuit City.
Oh, yeah, Joey's right. WWE is no longer making physical media either. They announced that not too long ago.
Wow.
I still have the majority of my collection of wrestling DVDs at my parents' house that I used to get like back in the early 2000s to like the early 2010s.
Yeah, one of the things I'm actually on the lookout for now is I like to collect VHS tapes, and I'm on the lookout for old 80s era wrestling tapes, especially the WWE, WWF ones from back then. The Coliseum video series.
Oh yeah.
Oh, those were great. I used to love those.
Yeah, they still did those in the 90s too, because I remember they did one for The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. They did WCW did a couple, because I had the Sting and DDP ones. Yeah, they did a lot of cool documentaries.
They're getting harder. Oh, Joey
says
he
has 400 VHS tapes.
Yeah, but what are they? Are they actual wrestling tapes?
Oh, wow.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Wow. I'm going to have to see this collection.
If I ever get to Jersey, I want to see that collection.
That's what I was saying. Next time I go to Jersey, we're going to watch some VHS tapes.
Yes. To close us out for this month in video game history and this year for this month in video game history, December 30th of 2003, Sega and Sonic Team released Sonic Heroes for the GameCube, PS2, Xbox, and Windows. I personally was not a fan of Sonic Heroes. I don't know if you ever played it or if
Never
you know
did.
Much about it. Mm-mm. It's a team-based game, so you don't control just Sonic. Mm-hmm. You have like Tails and Knuckles with you, and you have like team-up abilities, or you could switch between like Sonic leading the group or Tails leading the group, so on and so forth. It wasn't a bad idea. It just wasn't executed very well.
Yeah. I mean, I could understand you doing something like that if you're doing like an RPG-style thing, like Mario RPG, but like in a regular Sonic game, like I don't want to switch characters like that.
No. So no, it ain't on the top of my Sonic games list, I'll say that.
Yeah. But that brings us to we're done for the year with this month in video game history. Mm-hmm. And before we go into the review for tonight, Derek is going to do our last Patreon shout outs of the year.
I do want to say this real quick before I do that. Since we're starting a new year, that means that we can start putting in tidbits from 2004, which is crazy because it'll be the 20-year anniversary of me graduating high school.
Dude, if you ask me what year it is, it's like it's 2004. Like that's I just stopped paying attention to time around that point.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, we want to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And we actually have a new patron that we want to shout out.
I didn't even see this.
Mike Evelyn's Appendix has joined our Patreon. So shout out to Mr. Evelyn's. In all seriousness, Mike Evelyn had his appendix removed and he's doing much better.
Yeah,
he's
already
glad
home.
Glad to hear that.
He's already back at work. So I'm glad he's doing better. That makes me happy.
Yep. Yep, for sure. And we want to shout out Yup Fed, a.k.a. Knife, James, a.k.a. at Jimbo Jr. on Discord, Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, who we just mentioned, Tyler Watson, also known as the official fact checker to the official fact checker of the Nerd Cave Retro podcast, Axblade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I am the Rampage.
That was a long one.
Got to end the year on a high note. Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Mr. Joey Image, and of course, Mama Diamond herself.
Mama Diamond.
I like it. yeah. Want to shout out our awesome patrons for keeping the lights on for us here at the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast. We love our patrons so much. We watched the Star Wars Holiday Special for our patrons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can be asked to do much more than that.
No, we can shut down the Patreon. We're done.
Yeah, we've hit. I don't know if that would be a peak accomplishment or a valley accomplishment.
Well,
it's one of the two.
It is going to be released as a Christmas present for the holidays. We're releasing it to the general public this Wednesday. So if you want to watch, we wanted to get it out to the public before Christmas so everybody can enjoy our misery. And you can be miserable right along with us and watch the Star Wars Holiday Special over your Christmas break.
It's the gift that keeps on giving all year.
It'll ruin Christmas.
pretty much. But we have done much better commentary tracks as far as the content we've watched.
Oh, and let me tell you, before we move on, my YouTube algorithm now is wrecked because we watched the Star Wars Holiday Special. That's all I'm getting now is people talk like videos of people talking about the Holiday Special. I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to hear anything else about it, YouTube.
YouTube is so evil. That algorithm is so evil.
Yeah.
But we have watched much better content than the Star Wars Holiday Special. We've watched great movies like Batman 89, Transformers the movie, Clue, Christmas Vacation. We've also watched numerous animated series like Gargoyles, Darkwing Duck, Tailspin, Real Ghostbusters. The list is near endless on what we've watched, and I'm excited to see what we come up with for commentary tracks for 2024.
And I want to watch some more Real Ghostbusters. I want to get back to those.
Yeah, we haven't watched them in a while, so I'm totally down for that.
Wash the taste of that holiday special out of my mouth with some Real Ghostbusters and something good.
Yeah, but if you want to sign up for our Patreon for as little as a dollar a month, head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And tonight I'm going to be talking about... is a 1992 platform game for the NES based on the comic book series of the same name. The game was developed under the direction of Masato Megawa by Konami, which also published it in North America in February of 1992 and Europe on February 18th of 1993. Graphics were created by Kaname Shindo, Madonna Taira, and Toshihiro Furukawa, and the music was composed by Tomoko Sumiyama. And let me tell you, these people did a wonderful job with the graphics and the music for this game. I honestly had never played this game until last week. I'd always heard great things about it. It's one of those games that was really hard to find. I had to get a ROM of it myself, but it's all legal ways. I got a legal ROM of the game because if you want to get a copy of this game, You're going to run you about $150 on eBay.
It would have been more.
On a buy it now. All the buy it nows on eBay are at least $150. So if you got $150 to drop, you know, head to eBay right now and pick yourself up a copy of Bucky O'Hare.
I don't know why, but I thought it would be in like the 220 to 250 range.
I think it used
to be.
So that's
a little surprising.
It's come down a little bit, I think. But yeah, it's one of the later NES titles where they didn't. This was clearly like right after the Super Nintendo dropped, so they weren't making as many Nintendo games. That's why a lot of the games are so expensive from 1992 forward, because they just didn't make as many of them after the Super Nintendo came out. Which begs the question: why did this game not get a port to the Super Nintendo?
I think this would have been one of the most popular games for the Super Nintendo had it been released for that console.
I mean, it reminds me, like, the characters and everything remind me a lot. I know that Nintendo, you know, with, oh my God, what am I trying to think of? Oh my God, why am I blanking on his name? Do a barrel roll.
Star Fox.
Star Fox. Good Lord. Like, the Star Fox universe borrows heavily from this, I think.
Maybe they should do a Bucky O'Hare and Star Fox crossover.
Maybe. Like, it would totally fit. Like, they fit in the... it works. But as far as the game, you star as the titular rabbit as the captain of the Righteous Indignation, which protects the parallel universe of the Aniverse. His other crew members, Duck, Deadeye, Cat Jenny, and Android Blinky, and Human Willy, have been captured by the Toad Air Marshal. The first four levels of the game are, like, after your crew in the beginning, you know, animatic, your friends get kidnapped, your crew, and you gotta go to eat there. You start off with four planets, and you have to pick a planet to save them. So you don't necessarily have to play it the same way every single time. You can pretty much start where you want to, but it is very Mega Man-like, where... you know, in Mega Man, when you go and you kill a boss, you will get that boss's power to use. And it's sort of like playing a game of rock, paper, scissors when it comes to the next boss. So there's like that sort of aesthetic to the game. It's kind of the same here. Like, once you rescue one of your team members, you're then allowed to switch between the team members, and each one of them have a different set of powers to help you get through the levels.
See, that's just a great setup for a game. You know, you have a cool universe, and you have all these different characters that you can play as with different abilities. So that, I mean, that alone has pretty much sold me on it. And I, like you, I've heard nothing but, excuse me, great things about this game. And even if you look at the cover art, it makes you want to know more about it. Like, yeah. It looks like it would be perfect for the cover of Nintendo Power.
Oh, absolutely. And I never really saw this game anywhere as a kid. Like, of course, I was already on to the Super Nintendo at this time. But if I'd been walking around, you know, Kmart and saw this hanging on the shelf, I would have definitely been intrigued enough to go rent it and check out what it was about. And if I would have played this as a kid, I guarantee you I would have spent some hard-earned grass-cutting money to purchase a copy of this.
And probably would have been one of the first games that you reviewed on the show.
Yeah, probably. And some of my notes for this is the first note I wrote about this game. This game is the ultimate example of what the NES was capable of. And all the other makers of games that are lesser than this should be ashamed of themselves, because if this is what the Nintendo was capable of, what was everybody else doing?
That's a very good question.
Because
I don't have an answer for that.
I could not get over how beautiful this game is as far as the graphics and how detailed everything is, the amount of colors they fit on the screen, the speed of the game. This game is, what did I write here? It said, this reminded me a lot of Mega Man, but it's like Mega Man on steroids. This game is so fast-paced sometimes it would just throw me off, like Mega Man with Ninja Gaiden level speed. Sometimes your reflexes have to be so fast that the only way to get through the levels is sheer will of memorization. And now I wrote some level stuff on here, like the lava level. There's this level that there is some Battletoads level foolishness in this game. Like nothing like the turbo tunnel, but memorization that you would need almost like the turbo tunnel, because there's one level on the lava planet where you're underneath and you're trying to go down. Like, this is a game that's side-scrolling platform, but there's a lot of levels where you're just kind of going through caves and stuff like that, and you go down. Well, you're going down this level, and it's sort of like Mega Man when you're trying to go through some of the levels and avoid those lasers that are coming through the side of the screen, so you're trying to get through all the little openings so you can keep dropping down. Well, this one just has lava that comes down, and the lava is faster than you, so you have to be cutting corners and know exactly where you're going or you're gonna get killed. Like, that this lava level took me like 20 minutes to memorize it enough to get through it, and it's not that long.
Yeah, that's the trick when it comes to a lot of those old school games, is you just have to know where everything is or where enemies or traps are. Yeah. Not because you have like half a second to react.
Yeah. And like I wrote that this game is a platforming ass platformer. If you don't like platformers, this ain't for you. And another thing I wrote here next to the lava level, dropping platforms. There's no stopping to rest anywhere in this game, because stuff will just fall out from under you and you fall to your instant death. Like, you're not ever sure where you can stand and not have like something just utterly kill you or drop out from under you. Like, it's just, and I know that sounds negative, but it's also like, it's just one of those games where like you have to just keep memorizing where you can jump, where you can stand for a minute to catch your breath. And you can't really, I mean, this game is just like, it's like Ninja Gaiden. If you stop, you're dead.
Yeah, I got to play this. Just based off the comment that you say, this is a platforming ass platformer.
Yeah, there's
it's like, I love platformers, and Mega Man with Ninja Gaiden level speed. Like, that sounds amazing.
It's crazy. Like, I had no idea. First thing I thought when I played this game is like, oh, this is a Mega Man clone. And it is. But imagine Mega Man like 2x speed, like just as fast as you could think it could go. And you're platforming, you got platforms falling out from under you, you're dodging enemies, you're dodging all kinds of stuff coming at you. Then you go into these caves and you're dodging lava, and it's like there's no time to rest ever. But the game does give you infinite continues. That's the only way you'll ever get through this game, because there's no cheat codes for this game. It just gives you infinite continues, and that's it.
The gaming gods were generous when they made this.
Yeah. And the thing is when you die, you do start back at each of the acts, or there's how many levels did I say was in the game? There's like unlimited continues, and you continue from the level that you died on. Thank God. Each level is divided up into sub-levels or acts, and each one is not that long. So say you're on one of your planets, just say it's like level one or whatever. You have like 3 or 4 sub-levels before you get to the boss. So if you die on like the sub-level 3, you won't get sent back to the beginning of the act. You just start back from that sub-level that you died on. So if you can make it to the end of that level and start the next one, that's where you start from if you die from now on. So you're just, your whole goal is to just keep inching forward so you can get to that, you know, that checkpoint.
So this just makes me want to ask questions to other developers. Like, if this game could do all this stuff, why didn't you do it?
Yeah, like, y'all see this, right? Like, y'all see this? Like, what they did, this is how you're supposed to make it. This, like, yes, they hate children, but they don't hate them enough to only give them, like, one continue. Like, at least they could, like, they know that the children are going to torture themselves by playing more if they have unlimited continues.
Yeah. See, that's just smart business.
Yeah. And there is a password system in the game. And I know we hate it. I know we hate it. But here's the thing. The password system is not ridiculous. There's no stupid symbols. There's no weird tic-tac-toe grids to remember stuff. There's four letters. There are four or five letters that you have to write down to restart where you died. That's it. No uppercase and lowercase. It's all uppercase. Just four or five letters you have to write down, and that's it.
No 16-digit code like in Tales Adventure?
Nope.
See, like that, that's where I'm okay with a password system. Like, if it's just something simple like that, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I don't,
because back then, like, you could get like a notepad and a pencil and write down the password on it.
Cause, and nothing against Metroid. I love Metroid, but that password system for that game was ridiculous because there was upper and lowercase letters and numbers. So if you had a zero or an O, you were screwed if you didn't write it down right, because you're like, uh-oh, is that an O? Or is that a zero? Is that an uppercase O or a lowercase O? Oh, or is it a donut? What is that?
They actually go for a donut right now.
Yeah, no, donuts sound good, doesn't it?
Yeah, they do.
Let's see. I wrote, why the hell was this game not on the SNES? That's my biggest question right now about this game.
It has all the makings of a great Super Nintendo game, from the graphics to the story, the cover art. Like, heck, that could be a comic book cover.
Yeah.
And I would buy that it's a comic book.
Well, I mean, this is based off a comic book. Like, the game's based,
oh, it is.
Like, I don't understand why this wasn't given more of a media push at the time, because this could have been amazing at the time. And yeah, I found the thing here. It says the planets, there are four planets and they're divided into eight or more acts with different gameplay styles and scrolling directions, either vertical or horizontal. So each planet is divided up into different sublevels. So if you can make it to the next sublevel, that's where you start if you die.
A crossover between Bucky O'Hare and Star Fox needs to happen.
And not only that, why couldn't we get like a Bucky O'Hare meets Usagi Yojimbo? Like, that would be awesome.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be great.
That'd be really cool. But think about it. Like, when's the last Star Fox game come out? It's been a while. That franchise is on life support. Why not bring back a classic character? And yeah, man, a lot of people might not know who Bucky O'Hare is. But why not? I mean, you're not doing anything with it anyway, so why not try something different?
Tidbit Retro in the chat room says, would love to see the Bucky O'Hare NES game and the arcade beat 'em up released in a compilation. That would actually be really nice. Like, I don't understand, why is this game not released for the NES Online on the Switch?
I have no idea.
Like, it would, if it was there, that would just has more eyes on the game, because this game deserved more than what it was given. Like, it's not one of those games that you hear a lot of people talk about when it comes to the NES, and it needs to be, because I'll be honest, this game's a lot better than Battletoads. I can tell you that. And everybody loves Battletoads. This game's better than Battletoads.
I think people have more nostalgia for Battletoads than anything. Like, it can be fun, but it's just, it's too hard to beat.
Yeah.
Like, it crosses that line of being frustratingly hard.
I mean, this game is frustratingly hard, too, but this game has a level of fairness to it. Like, it's overly hard, but it's not I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not like it's the goals are unattainable. All it really is just memorization. But when it comes to Battletoads, it's like that game just intentionally tries to kill you and make you angry and quit. Like, this game made me want to keep going. Battletoads is like, once I get to the turbo tunnel, I'm just like, ah, I'm done. I don't want to play no more.
Yeah. We talk about this, you know, occasionally on the show whenever we review these late NES games, that I think one of the big reasons is probably the timing of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Super Nintendo was in full swing by that point. People weren't really thinking about the NES. And yeah, there were some good games that were released for it during that time. I just don't understand why they didn't do a port of it. And even if it took a little time, like the NES, the Super Nintendo, you know, it's not like it had a year lifespan.
Yeah. I mean, even if they had taken this game and, okay, it didn't sell well on the Nintendo, let's take a year of development and do a Super Nintendo port. It probably would have done way better on the Super Nintendo.
100% agree with that.
So I don't know. And Joey said...
Timing is important.
Joey said Goonies 2 NES had numbers, letters, and punctuation for its password system. Like, that's just gross. Like,
yeah, that makes me want to vomit.
I don't even want to hear that. That angers me hearing that. let's see. Did I write anything else? Or did I get to the end of my notes? Yeah, I just wrote... this game deserves to be up there with the greatest NES games of all time, because this is a Konami game, so you know love and care went into this game. The music is far above and beyond any of the other NES titles, even as far as like Nintendo-published titles, because Konami put an extra chip in their games for music so that they got twice as many tracks to play mute for. That's why their game sounded so good back then. And the game just plays great. It looks great. It's hard as hell, but totally worth every second of it. So if you can get yourself a copy of it, or be able to play it by some means, because even though they might be illegal, maybe if Nintendo gave us a way to buy this stuff, we would buy it and not have to look for ROMs of the game, Nintendo.
Oh, but that would be too easy.
Yeah, that'd be way too easy. So I don't know. But as far as reception of the game, generally positive reviews upon release. Critics argued that Bucky O'Hare had solid gameplay and presentation, but did not contribute to anything new to its platform shoot 'em up genre. I don't know what else they were asking
for. Why does every
for.
Game have to contribute or revolutionize its genre?
Yeah,
why can't it just be a good game?
Yeah, why can't it just be a solid, you know, side-scrolling shooter with platformer? Like, that's what it is. It's not, you're not trying to, you know, make, I don't know, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past. I mean, it's just, it's a platformer, a shooter. Like, what are you expecting? And they did well. Like, it's one of the best you can do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Let's see. Critics from Electronic Gaming Monthly felt its lack of new ideas was made up for by its amount of power-ups, enemies, gameplay variety, and tight controls. So you're saying the game is great, but its lack of new ideas is what held it back. Like, are you crazy? What is wrong with you guys?
Their arms hurt from reaching for that so much. Give me a break.
Oh, man. Electronic Gaming Monthly gave it a 31 out of 40. GamePro gave it a 20 out of 25. Nintendo Power gave it a 13.3 out of 20. I feel like Nintendo was throwing shade on it for I don't know. That feels weird.
They were like, you know what? 13's a little too low, but we don't want to go up to 14. So you know what? We're going to settle for 13.3.
An official Nintendo magazine gave it a 72 out of 100. I'm going to say these scores are way too low for the game. Maybe just at the time that they were looking for something new, but this game really has stood the test of time and is worth going back and checking out. It should be up there on a list of greatest NES games, and I'm going to give this game a solid 8 out of 10.
Nice.
I say the only thing that holds it back for me is it is a little frustrating because it is so freaking hard. But hey, That's just Nintendo. That's what that comes with the territory.
Yep. A tidbit retro in the chat says add Bucky as an unlockable character in the next Contra game.
Oh, I'm down for that.
That'd be great.
Yeah, but Konami ain't gonna do nothing with this stuff anymore. They're too busy making Plinko machines and not working on Silent Hill 2 remake. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
But no, I'm glad you enjoyed the game and we could end the year on a good review and not Home Alone 2.
Yeah, I did not want to end my year on something that I hated. So I figured time to do Bucky O'Hare, fired it up, started playing it, and was amazed at how much I liked it.
Fantastic.
But that's going to bring us to the end of this review and the end of our broadcast year. So, Derek, what's going on with the Derek Diamond Experience coming up?
So, we're on a little bit of a break. Just as I've mentioned, you know, on the show with work and other things just keeping me really busy, I'm just going to take a little break from doing the show. It will be back on January 8th. So I'm going to take Christmas and New Year's off, and we'll be back with top five movies of 2023. That also gives me time to see a lot of the movies that I've missed out on this year. Mm-hmm. And after that, we'll be marching on to 400 episodes.
Nice.
Of that show. So we'll I've got some ideas for it. We'll see if any of them pan out. But if you want to subscribe to the show, if you want to follow it on social media or go to my YouTube channel, linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast. Everything is there. And if you wouldn't mind leaving a rating and review for the show, I know we talk about it on this show as well, but it really does help podcasters, especially independent ones like, you know, we are, you with Open Micers, me with the Derek Diamond Experience. It really does help. And it doesn't cost anything. And it just takes 30 seconds to do.
Yeah. I mean, even, especially for this show. I mean, we've seen so much growth just this last year. But we need everybody to go leave reviews and five and rate. You don't have to leave. Even if you hate us, leave us a 1-star rating, because even bad ratings still push you up in front of people. So the more ratings and reviews we get, the more eyes are going to be on the show. And we thank you, everybody that's been with us since the beginning. We thank everybody that jumped in over this last year, because we've seen some crazy growth over this last year. And I love it.
Or even those that, if this is your first episode.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah.
If you want to hang out with us, we have a Discord. You can hang out with us and talk to us, and it's awesome in there. We got some really good people in there. For the Open Micers podcast, at Open Micers on Twitter, Instagram, and openmicers.com, we've had some really good guests over the last couple of months. We've been talking to pretty much everybody. Every comedian that was at Altercation Fest, and we just talked to Ariel Elias Norman this last Sunday, and it will be available to the public this Wednesday. I think one of our better episodes as far as just talking about comedy, talking about the Austin scene, what it takes to be a comedian, the ups and downs. She was on the Kill Tony panel, one of the very first Austin locals to be on there. She's from Boston, so, and she's rising up the ranks quickly as far as those mid-level comedians that are just doing their thing and building an audience. So go check out that episode. She was great to talk to. It's at Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram. And
I did want to say real quick also, I know that my show's on a little bit of a break, but you know, I've had, I think, the best run of guests over the last like 3 or 4 months between Kevin Eastman, Cal Dodd, the voice of Wolverine from the 90s X-Men cartoon, actor Eric Roberts, Jen Taylor, the voice of Cortana. It's been a while. I'm glad that all of our shows are doing well.
Oh, yeah. And did I say Ariel Elias? Because she has been on the show. Let me make sure I said the right name. Come on, YouTube. Let me see my content. Here, let's see, comedian Ariel Isaac Norman, not Elias, Ariel Isaac Norman. I got the middle name wrong. My bad. I just met her yesterday, so you got to give me a little, plus I'm an old man. So Ariel Isaac Norman, but we did have Ariel Elias on the show a while back. So go check out that episode too. She was great. We're going to have her on again soon too.
Just go through the whole discography.
Just go listen to everybody. We've had everybody on the show. So thank you guys for hanging out with us this year. Anything else before we get out of here for this year?
I don't think so.
Well, if you want to, let me play our music here if I can find it. If you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree. That includes all of our social media stuff, our Patreon. You can go to our Discord through there. You can give us money. If you don't want to be a patron, but you want to throw us some cash, we have a Cash App and PayPal on there. Or you can go get some merch at ncrmerch.com. We have all kind of t-shirt designs, hats, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever your nerdy little heart desires. And as we said earlier, please leave us a review and or a 5-star rating on all podcasting platforms. And Derek, that's gonna do it for this year, so please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes.
Come out to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Hey Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right, Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.